Hello to all my chaverim, Rav Moshe, and from around the world. Continuing on with our shiur on Mishnayos, Maseches Pesachim. We're in the fourth parak, parak Dalet, Mishnah Ches, and Tes, the last two Mishnayos in this parak. Mishnah Ches is also in the Gemara on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. And both of these Mishnayos are going to talk about things that the Chachamim in some cases agreed with, some cases didn't agree with. Six things dealing with the people from Yericho, and six things dealing with Chizkiah Melech, and we'll go through them all. So it starts off, Shisha Devarim Asu Anshei Yericho. There were six things the people from Yericho did, and Tiferes Yisrael says, this is from the Gemara in Nevav Amud Aleph, he gets this, that they would do these six things, all six things the Chachamim didn't like that they did. But still, Al Shlosh Meichu B'Yadam, on three of them they protested, Shlosh Lo Meichu B'Yadam, and three they didn't protest. So Tiferes Yisrael says, even for all six they didn't agree with, they only protested on three of them, and on the other three, either there was some kind of a halachic reason why the Anshei Yericho, the people from Yericho, had a leg to stand on, even though the Chachamim didn't agree with them, or that the problem they caused wasn't such a big problem, so they didn't actually protest on those other three. So Elohim, Shlomich, Adam, first we're going to start off with the three that the Chachamim did not protest. So Markivim Dekalam Kol Hayom, Yericho, anyone who's been in that area, a lot of date palms there, that's what it's known for, and they would actually graft date palm trees all day. The Rav says it means all day of the 14th day of Nisan, because normally we don't do malacha the afternoon of Erev Pesach, but they were grafting that whole day long. Now the Meiri and the Taisis Yantif in the name of the Arach says what they would do is they would take a branch that was still soft, and there are two types of date palm trees. There's a male date palm and a female date palm. Don't ask me how you can tell one from the other, but they would take the male date palm and the soft one, and they would graft it into the branch of a female date palm. Why? Because the fruit, the dates that come from the male one aren't too good, and the female one doesn't normally produce fruit at all. And by doing this type of grafting, the female date palm would come up with very nice dates. So that was the reasoning behind why they were doing it. Now, you might think, wait a second, we're not allowed to do any grafting. You know, it's a Isser Kalayim. So how can they even do this at all? How can they even think of doing this? So the Chazayin Ish brings that from the Kalayim Perik Beis Mishnah Yurches, that there's no Isser in this type of grafting. Grafting is only not allowed if you're taking two different species. Here they're both the same date palms, and it's no problem at all with that. The Tzlach says the reason that they felt they were allowed to do it, because if they didn't do it that day, it was very time-sensitive, and they would lose out, and they wouldn't be able to do it afterwards. And in Chol HaMoed, we see you're allowed to do work, which is going to, you lose money unless you do it. So certainly you're allowed to do it on Erev Pesach. The Chachamim didn't agree, because they didn't think it was that time-sensitive that they would lose if they did it, waited until another day or two, wait till Chol HaMoed. But they didn't protest, because they felt that the Anshei Yericho has some basis there that they could rely on, so they let him do it, even though they didn't really approve. So that's the first thing that they didn't complain about. The second thing is Karchem es Ashma. What does that mean? The Rav brings two explanations from the Brice and the Gemara and the Nun Vav Amud Aleph. And he says, one is from Rabbi Yehuda. They didn't say Baruch Shein Kavod Malchuso. When they said the Krishma, they said Shema Yisrael Shem Lekel Echad, and then they went straight to V'yahavta without Baruch Shein Kavod Malchuso. And Reb Meir says they didn't take a break between the Echad and the V'yahavta. They rushed. They didn't take a long enough Echad. He says you need to stretch out the Echad and take a break between Malchus Shemayim, having a Kavana that Hashem is in charge, and other things that we're going to, that you mentioned in the first parsha of Krishma. The Shvar Israel says that when you read the first pasuk of Krishma, you have to have an extra kavana on that and have a break between word to word in order to have your good kavana. And they read it with a rush, and they kind of like bundle it all together without taking a break between the words. Now the Gemara and Vav and Aleph brings the name Reb Shimon ben Lakish, that when Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed and he wanted to reveal what the final geula would be to his children. So it says there in the Medrash that he lost the Shechina separated from him and didn't give him the information that he needed to know. So he said, Chas v'shalom, maybe there's some kind of a psul in my children who are around me. Maybe I'm not zecha to have a Gili Shechina because I have some child who is not really worthy. So they all said, all his children said, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. Yisrael, or which was Yaakov Avinu, listen, our father, we all are strong in our amun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yaakov then answered, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Avad. So the Rabbanan then said, so what should we do when we say Kriya Shema? Well, we know that in the Torah it doesn't say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Avad. Moshe Rabbeinu never said it. Should we say it? Yaakov, you know, going to Medrash did say it. What should we do? So they agreed, they decided that you should say it in a low voice. You say Shema Yisrael and V'ahavta in the regular voice, and Baruch Shem Kavod you say in a low voice. So the people in Yericho didn't say it at all. They were like Moshe Rabbeinu, they had something to rely on, and therefore the Chacham, even though the Chacham didn't agree with them, they didn't protest. And the last thing here with the what they did and the Chacham didn't protest, but coats from Vigotchel and Fnei Omer, they used to harvest and pile up grain before the Karban Omer was brought. Now it says in Vayikra, Perachav Gimel, Pasuk Yedalit, V'lechem V'kali V'karmel Osochlu, don't eat any bread or any roasted grain at all, Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh, until the middle of this day, Ad Haviyachem, Es Karban Elokechem, until you bring the Karban Omer, to tell you that any new grain from one of the five types of grains that we use for Pesach, the wheat, barley, rye, oats, spelt, any one of those, you can't eat it until the Karban Omer is brought on the 16th of Nisan in the Beis HaMikdash, the first day of Chol HaMoed here in Eretz Yisrael. Now, any grain that took root after the previous year's bringing of the Omer is included in this Isser, which is called Chadash, it's new grain. Now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so we can't wait for the Karban to be brought on the 16th day of Nisan. So we have this Chadash, and a new grain is Usser until the whole 16th is finished, and until we get to the 17th day of Nisan. And this is brought in the Rambam, Hilchos Maisus Asuras, Macholos Asuras, Perek Yud, Halacha Beis. Now, besides the Isser of eating new grains before the Karban is brought, there's a separate Isser from harvesting grain before the Omer is brought. And it's learned out from the Pasuk, Nevayikra Chaf Gimel Pasuk Yud, Ve'veisim as Omer, Reishis Kitzircham, the first thing you harvest should be the grain you're going to be using for the Karban Omer. But this Isser of cutting is only from Tfuah that it's possible to be brought for a carbon. And Omer is a mincha, type of a carbon, mincha, and the grain that you can use for carbon mincha can't be from a valley, as the Mishnah in Menachos Pei Heim and Aleph says, because it isn't the best type of grain. So therefore, it really would have been okay for the people in Yericho to harvest their grain before the carbon Omer, because Yericho is in a valley, and the Isser of the Torah not to harvest some type of grain before the Karban Omer is brought isn't dealing with grain that comes from a valley. Still, the Chachamim made a protection that don't even bother to anywhere to harvest before the Omer because they didn't want you to come to actually eat it. So, but still, the Chachamim didn't protest to the people of Yericho who did pile it up because they weren't over in their rice, Rak on Lekseder Rabbanan. So therefore, Lo Michu Biyadim. So Israel says that, why does it say again, Lo Michu Biyadim? We said by each one of the things, Lo Michu. The point is that even though every year they kept doing the same behavior the Chachamim didn't agree to, and they saw them doing this over and over, still they had reasons why they were doing these things, and it wouldn't be such a bad, bad things won't happen if they did it, so they didn't protest. Okay, the next thing, these Elu Shemichu Biyadim Chachamim. Now we're going to talk about things where they did protest. Matirin Gimzil Shel Hekdesh. Now we know that you can't use anything that was someone was makdish and became hekdish. And if you did, there's an iser called me'ila. You're using something of hekdish, and you have to pay the value of what you used, and you also have to pay an extra fifth. Now the Rav says from the Gemara and Nunvav and Mebeis that these gimzias are growths. Growths on trees that grew from a tree of hekdish. Someone was makdish a tree to the Beis HaMikdash, and then later on, branches grew on that tree. So the people in Yericho felt that Me'ila is only on the actual item that you made hekdish, and not on anything that grew afterwards. The Chachamim agreed that there's no issur Me'ila, but they did say that there is a Durabbanan not to do such a thing, and the Gemara, and then Zayin and Aleph explains that these trees were sycamore trees that were around Yericho, and crooks would come and start chopping off pieces of them and take them for their own use. So therefore, the people of Yericho were makdish it, so people won't touch those trees, but they felt that they themselves could take any branches that grew afterwards, and the Chachamim protested they shouldn't do that. Once they made hekdish, you shouldn't be doing that. Next thing is Oakland Mitachas Hanasharim B'Shabbos. Okay, so they ate from things underneath where it dropped on Shabbos. Now the Rav, on Shabbos they ate things that had dropped under trees. The Rav says that they on Shabbos and Yontif they ate fruit that they found under trees. And it wasn't known, did it drop on Shabbos or Yontif, or did it drop the day before? So if it had dropped the day before, it would be okay. But if it fell that day, it would be usher, either because maybe it's a gzera, maybe a person will forget and then climb up on the tree and pull down some more things on Shabbos. That would really be an issur d'oraisa to do that. Or maybe it's muksa, because it wasn't prepared before Shabbos and it just fell on Shabbos. Now the people in Yericho felt that it's a suffik d'rabbanan, l'kula. Muksa on mukhan is only a d'rabbanan. And we don't know. Maybe it is muksa, maybe it's mukha, maybe it was before Shabbos, maybe it wasn't before Shabbos. And so we should go safek d'rabbanan l'kula. But the Chachamim said that muksa is even aser mi safek. This is an exception. Normally we say safek d'rabbanan l'kula, but muksa or mukhan are things that even though it's a safek d'rabbanan, the Chachamim said you have to go l'chumra. And in Mishnah Berurah, Siman Taf Tzadik Vav, Sivkat and Ches, explains the reason why Suffolk Muksur or Suffolk Nolad is Usr on Shabbos, because this is a Darvish Yesh Lo Matirim. This is something, so just wait a little while. Wait till Shabbos is over, and then it'll be Mutter. And anything which could become Mutter, if you just wait a bit, so you can't rely on using it even beforehand. You should just wait. So therefore, they said it's not a good thing, and they protested people in Yericho who would do this. And the third thing they would do in Yericho that they protested was Nostem Peya Lierik. They would take, Peya means leaving off a part of the field, so the edge of the field that an Ian could eat from. And normally when Peya was set aside, that part of the field was not Mechuyev and Meiser. So, but vegetables is something which doesn't have a mitzvah of peya, because the only things that have a mitzvah of peya, things that are going to be stored long term, like grain, and as it says in Peya Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalid, and if something is not peya, then it is Mechayiv and Meiser. So the Chachamim protested because they're taking part of their field, part of their vegetables, and saying it's Peah, and they're not taking off Meiser, and the Aniyim are coming and eating it, even though it's really Tevel, that Meiser wasn't taken off. They thought that, oh, it is Peah, people are leaving and it's Peah, and we don't have to take Meiser, because it's Hefker. And they're messing up and making these Aniyim eat stuff, which Meiser was not taken off when it shouldn't. The Gemara in Nun Vav and Beis explains, what's the Machlokas? Machlokas really between the Chamanshi Yericha was dealing with leaves that were put into storage together with the roots of the vegetables. The roots themselves would last a long time and are not, and could be Peah, but not the leaves. The Anshi Yericha felt that it is Machlev and Peah because it's something that is put into storage connected to something that would last a long time, but the Chum didn't agree to them and said, you're doing wrong by setting it aside as Peah. So Michu Bem HaChamim, they argued on all these three things. They paskin that growths from Hekdesh trees are usher from Bahanah, not just the tree itself, and they also argued the fruit that was found under a tree on Shabbos, and you weren't sure if it fell on Shabbos or not, or Asa Bahanah, it's a Suffolk Muksa, maybe it fell on Shabbos, and you have to go to the Chumrah in this case. And they also said, don't leave Peah for vegetables, because you're going to be taking them off from Meiser that they're supposed to have. Okay, Mishnah Tes, which is found in the Gemara on Daf Nun Vav and Aleph. But if you look in our Gemara, it's not shown as a Mishnah. It's shown as just a part of the Gemara, which is kind of strange. The Rambam in Perush Mishnayos writes that this we're going to be talking about is really a Tosefta, but he felt it's a good idea to explain it here because it has some good usage in his explanation. So, the Mishnah says, Shisha Dvarim Asa Cheski HaMelech. He did three things, Cheski HaMelech, Al Shlosha Hodelo, three things the Chachamim praised him for what he did, Al Shlosha Lo Hodelo, and for three things they didn't praise him. Kol HaRemes explains, why didn't we use this term we had previously of protesting, three things they protested, three things they didn't protest, just like by the Anshi Yericha, because they were afraid of this king Cheskiah, they didn't want to protest. But Shoshana the Dovid said, what are you talking about? Cheskiah was a Chacham, he was a Tzaddik, he wouldn't have been angry at the Chachamim if they would have protested, he wouldn't have punished them anyway. But what happened over here, everything he did was a one-time, all these six things were one-time occurrence, and afterwards it wouldn't be repeated, and therefore there was no point in protesting, something was already done. But for the people of Yericho, they were doing it over and over, and therefore they wanted to stop, and therefore they protested. So what did he do? Girer atzamas aviv al mita shel chavalim. He dragged the bones of his father on a bed of ropes, which was kind of a bizayon for his father's body, dragged it through the streets. And v'hodelo, the Chum said, good idea. Why? His father was King Achaz, who was a Rasha, and the Rav said he did it as a kapara for his father, and he didn't bury him according to the covet that a normal king should have with a nice bed. He wanted to, he should have a bizayon for his rishis, and also that the Risham should take Musa from this. This is what happens to a Rasha. Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains, really wasn't just bones, but it meant his whole body was placed on these ropes to be pulled through the town, that body eventually will be bones, and that's why it says at Tzamos. First Israel says, why wouldn't he be chayiv in the covet? Normally you have a chayiv to have covet for your father. This is his father, he's acting in such a denigrating fashion. He said because he didn't act like a regular, it says, Aisei Maisei Amcha. He didn't act as a Jewish person should act, and therefore he's not mechayiv in his kavod. Now, the bias part of Tzeres Yisrael brings from the Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, Simon Reish Mem Sif Yud Ches, that a mamzer, it says in the Mechaber, a mamzer is chayiv in the kavod of his father, and his myra, his fear, even if his father was a Rasha. He made a mamzer, didn't he? And even his father is someone that does averus. Still, he has to give him kavod, and he has to fear him. The Ramah says, Yesh Omrim, he's not, there are some shittas are that he isn't mechayev to give his father kavod, unless his father did tshuva. The Piskei Tshuva writes that you don't have to give him kavod only if he constantly did this Avera that made him a Rasha, and that wasn't a one-time mistake. Otherwise, you would have to give him Kavod, even though he did something wrong. Nachlas Tzvi questions, why don't we fear, maybe he did tshuva. So why do you consider him a Rasha? How do you know? Maybe he did tshuva. In Gemara Kedushin, Daf Mem Tes, it talks about someone who makes a Kedushin with a woman, and he says, on the condition that I'm a complete tzaddik, and it says over there, we treat it as if he is a tzaddik, and she is mekudeshes, she's married to him. So why over there do we say, we assume that maybe he did tshuva, and over here we're assuming he didn't do tshuva. And that's why he was dragging the body around after the death. Maybe he did tshuva before he died. So he answers in Achlas Tzvi, the only time we say that a person possibly did tshuva is there's some kind of indication to the point. Like over there he said, on the condition that I'm a tzaddik gamar, so he's kind of hinting that now I'm a tzaddik gamar, I did tshuva. The Boaz part of the Dvaris Yisrael explains that they hold, there are ones, this Yesh Omrim holds, that you're chayiv in the covet of a father who is a Rasha only when he's alive. But after death, you don't have to have covet for a father who was a Rasha, because the whole din that you have to have covet for a father after his death is only midrabanan. And by a Rasha, the Chachamim did not include it in their din, and they said only if a righteous father, after death, you should have covet for him, but a Rasha father, you don't have to have covet, so therefore, he was able to drag the bones around, and the Chachamim agreed to what he did. Next, Kitas Nechash Nechoshes V'Hodolo. In the times of Moshe, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished Bnei Yisrael because they were complaining at the time of the Man, they didn't have food. Why are you taking us here? We could have been in Mitzrayim, eating all the nice food there. So what did he do? He sent snakes to go through the camps and bite people. So when he wanted to finally heal them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, after Moshe davened to him, to make a bronze snake, put it on a banner, hold it up, anyone who looks at it would be healed. And in the times of Chizkiah, he decided that a bronze snake was still around, it needed to be ground up and destroyed. The Rav and the Rashi say, because people were mistaken after it, and Tzvi Yisrael says, what do you mean mistaken? Because they made an Avodah Zarah, they said, look, we look at the snake, it heals us, so the snake has power by itself, and they treat it as a Avodah Zarah. He said, we're getting rid of the snake. People are misusing it. And Lacham agreed, good idea. A third, Gana Sefer Trufos V'Hodolo. A third thing they agreed to is that there was a book that had all kinds of remedies in it. The Ramban, and in the Hakdamah Pirush of Chumash, writes, Shlomo HaMelech wrote this. He was the author. And Rashi says here that people didn't turn their hearts when they were sick. It didn't cause them to think about what they had to change in their lifestyle to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would get healed so quickly, and he thought that was not a good idea for people. And Yisrael, Tiferes Yisrael, and the Pirishnais, the Rambam, says that they would make these cameos, amulets, or little figures of things, and based on what the astrologists told them to do, and that would help them. They looked into the Sefer Refuah, told them to make all these different things. That would help them for their sickness, and people shouldn't think again that this is a Avodah Zarah that's curing them and not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They hid it, so it shouldn't be available to the average person, but Chizkiah did not actually destroy it like he destroyed the Nachash in case he needed it in future generations, when things were in big sakana. So, if anybody knows where the Sefer Refuah is today, I think it would be a good time for you to pull it out now and help us find the remedy for the coronavirus. And maybe that's what Chizkiah HaMelech had in mind all along. Save it for a future generation. Like I said, now is a real good time. And the Chacham agreed that he should just hide it away. Okay, what things? Three things that they didn't praise him for. Al Shlosh Lo Hodolo to Chizkiah, these are them. When Sanherif, the king of Asher, put a huge tax on the people in Eretz Yisrael, and Chizkiah had financial difficulties, what he did is he cut off the plating of gold that were on the doors in the Heichal in the Beis Hamikdash, and he sent it to the king of Asher as his payment in the tax. And Lahodlo, Chum said, that's not praiseworthy. This very Yisrael says, because look what you're doing to the Mikdash, Imavaz in the Mikdash. He should have used some other methods to bribe him, even though it was pressure at that time, or he should have waited for a nace to help him. And the Tosfos Yontif says that he should have just trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him. He shouldn't have done this. So they didn't like that. Second is, Sasa Megichon HaElyon LaHodlo. He blocked up the waters of Gihon, the upper waters, and they didn't praise him for that. The Tiferes Yisrael said there was a beautiful stream in Yerushalayim, and when the Sancheirev and his people would come to besiege Eretz Yisrael, or Yerushalayim, he closed up this stream so they wouldn't have water to drink. The Chum said, that's not praiseworthy, because the Navi already promised that they won't capture Yerushalayim. And also, there's this another stream there, even though, and that one you couldn't close up, and even though those waters weren't that great, still, he shouldn't have destroyed something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us for Yerushalayim and its Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. They said it's not a good thing. And those of you who know Yerushalayim know that our water company here is called Gihon, and named after that stream. Now, the last thing he did, Avar Nisan B'Nisan V'lo Hodlo, he needed at some point to make an extra month in the year, and he waited till Nisan, it sounds like, and they said, you shouldn't do it that late in the year. The Rav says that after Nisan came, he thought about making an Adar Sheni, and Pasuk says, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, Zeh Nisan V'Nachar Nisan. We already started Nisan, now you're going to make this month Adar, you'll have another month that's Nisan, that's not good. Okay? So actually, if you look in the Gemara, it's not that Chizkiah waited till actually Nisan came, but he did it on the 30th day of Adar, he made an extra month, and we hold you shouldn't even make an extra month of the year on the 30th of Adar, because that 30th of Adar, if you don't make a 30-day Adar, you can actually make that the first day of Nisan. So since it could be a first day of Nisan, so you shouldn't make an extra month at that point in the year, and that's why they did not agree with him. Again, it's Erev Shabbos here today, so have a good Shabbos if you're listening on Erev Shabbos. If not, have a good day, and we'll catch you again at a future date. If you want to reach me, Sheldon_Rothman@yahoo.com. 052-244-9331. Comments, questions, complaints. Have a good day.